Father, we thank you again. We know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Open our ears, O Lord, that we will hear what the Spirit is saying now to the churches. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Good morning. Praise the Lord, everyone. Today's lesson and ministration will be on spiritual awakening. Still along our Ignite series, return to your first love. We all need that. And if you've been in the room the last 2 days, you will see, you would have noticed and seen what the Lord has been doing and saying and calling us, beckoning on us to hear the voice of the Spirit at this time. To keep that fire burning. And if the fire went out already, to crank it up again. Get back to the place where we first believed. So let me start here by reading the book of letters to the saints in the book of to the churches, Revelation chapter 2, the letter to the church of Ephesus. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this thing saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. So that's all the good things that this church was doing right. So we see that even from the beginning, there were false apostles. It's not just now. We see a lot of them today. But even from the beginning, there were several, which we see that the Lord speaking to this church acknowledges the fact that those people were able to tell apart the good ones and the evil ones. And so they were able to figure out that some people title themselves as apostles, but they are not. And they were able to be found as liars. So anyone that titles themselves as anything, apostle, prophet, whatever, and are not, Jesus called them liars. And you know what happens to liars. You know, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire unless they repent. So that's a dangerous thing, you know, there. And these people were able to determine that. But Jesus went on and said, nevertheless. Now, so there's all these good things that we may have going. We have our works. He said, your labor and so forth. You know, I know your works, your labor. And your patience, you know, and how you cannot bear those who are evil. I mean, these people actually had a whole lot of stuff going for them. You would have thought there should be no rebuke at all because they had works, they had labor, they had patience, they had discernment. I mean, they had all these things going. But Jesus said, nevertheless. See, that's the thing. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. You know, sometimes there's just that one thing. It's like the man who came to Jesus and said, good master, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life and all these things? And Jesus began to tell him, you know, and said, well, do this and do the other. And the man said, look, I've done all these things. And you can read that story in Mark chapter 10. And then Jesus said, wow. You know, that's really good. But when the Lord looked at him, he said, well, nevertheless, there's one more thing. In fact, let me digress a little bit and read that to you. In Mark chapter 10, this man who came and said, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Mark 10 and 17. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." So actually, these commandments, if you're able to keep them, Jesus is saying will set you on the path to inheriting eternal life. Because that's the question he was asked. How can I inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, "Well, you know the commandments. Keep them. You know, that's one thing you must do." And the man said, "Well, all of these I've observed from my youth." And Jesus looked at him and he actually loved the guy. He said, "Yeah, you've done that. That's really good. You are on your way now. Nevertheless," see, there's usually that nevertheless. "Nevertheless, there's one thing that you still lack." You know, in this case, this particular man, the one thing that he lacked, or the one area of his life, his Achilles heel, if you want to call it that, the thing that was a stumbling block for him, was his dependence on his riches. So the Lord said to him, "Well, nevertheless, there's one thing you lack. Go thy way and sell whatever you have. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me." Now, Jesus didn't say that to everybody, but he said it to this one particular person. So there is, for each of us, and maybe that one thing which we still lack. And this man went away very, very sad. Because, you know, in fact, Jesus said, it says here that the man went away very sad because he had great possessions and he was grieved. He was grieved at that saying, "Why would the Lord tell me to go and do that?" Why would he? And see, Jesus knew that that was the problem with this man's heart. The man didn't really need to sell his goods and give everything to the poor if he, you know, his heart was not wrapped around those goods. See, but anything that's going to take the Lord off of number one in our lives, that thing we must get rid of. You know, if it's your great possessions, sadly, you have to get rid of it because it's going to, you know, displace the Lord as number one in your life. And that thing becomes an idol. And so this man went away grieved. And Jesus looked around him to his disciples and said, "Well, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the apostles were disturbed at that saying. "You mean if we have riches, we can't enter into the kingdom? We have to be poor in order to enter the kingdom? What kind of message is that?" So Jesus explained to them and said, "Look, what I'm saying is that it is going to be hard for them that trust in their riches." It's not the riches by itself, but when they put their heart into that riches as if the riches is everything, you know, it's going to be hard for those people to enter into the kingdom. And then the people say, okay, now we understand. You know, but they say, "Well, who then can be saved? Because many of us depend on our riches." And they say, Jesus said, "Look, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven. Because if they trust in their riches, it's going to be so hard." At which saying, disciples said, "Wow." You know, in fact, they were more astonished even than the first time. I said, "Well, you know, if it's going to be that hard for anyone to get into the kingdom, who then can be saved?" And Jesus said to them, "Well, with men on your own, you can't do it. But with God, you know, that's not the case. You know, because there is nothing impossible with God. All things are possible with Him." You know, so, well, you know, At which time, Peter, willing to justify himself, said, well, Lord, behold, we have left all and we followed you. And then Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. So there's a promise. Anytime you give up something for the Lord, you know, you will get more even now. Houses, brethren, sisters. Do you know how many people the Lord got when he gave up his life? In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Talking about himself. But when he dies, he's going to bring forth a whole lot. You know, and so Jesus was all alone, trying so hard to teach 12 people, you know, and so forth. That's whom he started with. You know, but look at what has happened. Look at all the millions and millions and millions of people that have followed the Lord since that time. Well, same thing. You know, if you were rejected because you came into the faith, you know, you might have been from a different faith, a different religion, I should say. And then, you know, we have many people that have testimonies like that. And then when they gave their life to Christ, you know, their family rejected and they threw them out and everything like that. But look at all the people you got instead. You got all the brethren, all the people in Christ. You know, you got more. You might have had 5 or 7 people in your natural family. But look at all the people you have now. Praise God. So you got 100-fold more now, you know. And all things are now yours, actually. You know, you got all these things. Everything that somebody has in the kingdom is now yours, too. You know, so you got a whole lot more. But trust me, you're going to also get persecutions. Persecutions, she said. He also said will come with that, but you have the promise of eternal life. Glory to God. You know, so I brought that story in to buttress the point of the nevertheless. We may be doing good in so many areas. You have the labor. Back to our story in Revelation 2. You have the labor. I mean, you're laboring for Christ. I mean, you can determine what the labor it is that you are doing for Christ. You may be, you know, you may be serving in the church. You may be preaching as I am now. You may be, part of the evangelistic team. You may be in the praise team. You may be this and that. You know, I mean, you have labor. You have works. I mean, so you have all that going for you. You know, and we all do. There's hardly anybody that's not doing something. I mean, that would be a really sad situation if there's one person that say, I'm in the Lord and does absolutely nothing. They're not praying for anybody. They're not serving in the church. They're not witnessing for Christ. They're not, I mean, they're just not doing anything. They're just nobody. You know, that would be really sad. Most people are doing something. You know, we can do more, but we're doing something. You know, preaching, you know, in the prayer group, in the evangelistic group, in the singing group, in the, you know, hospitality group, the welcoming group. I mean, people are, you know, doing stuff. Whatever it is we're doing, Jesus acknowledges it. And we have patience. You know, sometimes these things that we're doing is rough, it's tough, but we're doing it, you know, with patience and so forth. We're also, you know, doing our best to, you know, to keep the word of God. Sometimes we even have discernment. We're able to discern. These people were able to discern. People come around, say they're apostles. We know they are not. They are fake. We're able to do all of that, you know. And Jesus said, all of that is good, but nevertheless. You know, I mean, just look at these people. Even for my name's sake, you have labored and you have not fainted. I mean, when I read it, every time I read this, I'm like, my goodness. I mean, who then can pass, you know, because these people had so much going. And yet there was one thing they still lacked, you know, as there's always this one thing. They were laboring. They were not fainting. They had patience. They have burn. They have discernment. They have done everything. I mean, yet Jesus said, you have lost your first love. So there was something about this group, something in them, some fire that they had in the beginning. Now they've lost that fire, which was actually the edge, you know, but they've lost the edge. They're just kind of coasting along, kind of doing these things now as routine. You know, sometimes when we do stuff as routine, rather than being driven by the passion and the love we have for Christ, it could be just like this. You know, I mean, you get up in the morning, you do it as routine, you pray, you preach, you witness, you know, it's all routine. We're not really passionate as we were in the beginning because of something that was a compelling drive that we had to be a witness for Christ, you know, to be lockstep with him in everything. You know, whatever it is, whatever your first love is that you've lost. You know, some of us was, you know, you used to be able to get up early in the morning and pray in the spirit for an hour. You know, you used to be an intercessor for others, you know, and all of these things. You know, now, you know, all you pray about is your husband and your wife and your children. That's all you pray for now. You know, but in the past, when you first came, you know, into this fire with the Lord, you would spend time on your knees praying in the spirit for believers, doing all of these things and so on. Well, maybe that's your first love that you've lost. We talked about, you know, repairing the altar yesterday. Well, maybe that's your own altar that is now broken down. So you got to repair it, you know, praise the Lord. I mean, some of us, I should put myself in that category, really. You know, there was a time when we fasted all the time. I remember when I fasted all the time. I think I mentioned it yesterday. I was off 1 year when the Lord was just trying to call me into the ministry. Actually, I hadn't really come into the ministry then. It was just the year following when I just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was so fired up because people thought that, you know, people came in contact with me then, they thought I had been in the Lord for like 15, 20 or 30 years because of the amount of stuff that I knew, the passion and the energy and everything that, you know, coming out of me and so forth. And they didn't know that I was just a year plus, you know. And, but I was so much on fire, you know, and I didn't know that the Lord was actually prepping me to come into the ministry that early, you know. And like I said before, you know, every week for almost a year, every week, last meal was on Wednesday, next meal was Sunday evening. And I didn't even, this wasn't breaking in the evenings. This wasn't even back then. I didn't know that I could even drink water. So, I mean, this was for a whole year, week after week after week, fasting that many days. Wow. No wonder I saw so much power and so much, you know, great stuff. I can't even, you know, begin to go into them right now. But where am I today? Well, today, I guarantee you what, it's, you know, difficult to fast. I don't know why. I can do it even more easily than others. I still try to do that every, you know, so often, you know, but consistently like that. Now that was my first love. And I need to get back to that. And I guarantee you, since the Lord started talking to us about this 2 days ago and so forth, I immediately went into a time of fasting. I'm like, look, you know, I don't want to be a castaway. If I'm the one that's preaching these things and yet you're not doing it, you're going to be in a serious trouble. You know, so what was your own first love? Maybe yours was you couldn't put down that Bible. You picked it up. You just couldn't put it down. Carried it everywhere. You spoke about the Lord. You did this and that. Whatever was that first altar that is now broken down, we need to repair it. Praise the Lord. So this is the message today. Some people have oil have leaked out. We read the story of Matthew chapter 25. You know, the foolish virgins whose lamp, their oil, the lamp ran out. They had nothing. They had no preparation. You know, maybe, you know, their first love was they used to be well prepared for everything. And now they're not prepared. You know, they're just lackadaisical about everything. Well, and their lamps ran out. Well, sadly, they were not prepared. The other people's lamps ran out too, but they were well prepared. You know, so what is the broken down altar? Well, and how does it get to that point? Well, let's look at the stages, how it happens. In Ephesus, this book of Ephesus, I mean, this letter to the church of Ephesus that we are reading, the way certain things started creeping, let's know this. He said, well, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. He said, look, you've lost your first love. Remember therefore from whence you are fallen. That means, look, we've got to bring to remembrance the old things. Sometimes you say, well, forget the past. No, not in this case. You know, in this case, God wants you to do well. You do well to remember from where you have fallen and repent. God actually calls it repenting. You know, and sometimes we think we don't have to repent. He calls it repenting. Repent and do the first works. Repent means, you know, an about turn. You know, go back and do the first works again. Now, he puts a very stern warning here. Or else. Now, which means, despite the fact that you are doing works now, and you have all these good things going for you right now, and you are still bearing the name of the Lord and having patience and doing all sort of things, you know, and you are not fainting quite, you know, I mean, you're not actually fainting. You're doing whatever you're doing, you know. Yet when the Holy Spirit reveals to you, and this is an individual thing now, the Holy Spirit might reveal to you what the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that you are yet lacking and you need to go back to will be different than what it is for me. It'll be different from the other person too. And when the Holy Spirit does reveal that to you, though, you got to do this. You must repent and you must go back. Remember the place where you are falling, the first love that he's, you know, showing you. And you got to go back to it and repent and do those first walks again. There are walks just like this one that you are doing now. But Jesus said you've left something that you used to do. Now, it's actually something you used to do because he called it first walks. So what was it you used to do, which you no longer do now? And he puts a stern warning, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, remember, he's the one that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Each of those churches were a candlestick giving light to their time and their generation, if you look at them prophetically, you know, so, and, you know, individually also, he said, look, I might remove that candlestick. I mean, that's a great, great warning. But Jesus always has hope. If we do repent and do the thing that the Holy Spirit is convicting us about, you know, that's a great blessing at the end of it. But he also comes back and gives them another pat on the back. There's one thing that you have, though, he said. You know, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, you know, which thing I also hate. Now, we dealt with this at great length when we did the Revelation series. So this is not that today. I don't want to get too deep into that. But there are many things that those people have. It's kind of like divide and conquer. You are the lady. And we are the clergy. We are the ones that have the word of the Lord and you don't. We see the same spirit today. Some people vaunt themselves up, you know, to be apostles and prophets and this and that. And, you know, they're above everybody else. They are called, you know, it's like Saul, the spirit of Saul. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. Now that same spirit is still in there today. Some people feel, that they are head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, so, well, and they divide the people. We are the ones that have the word of the Lord. You don't, you know. And if you want a word, then you're going to have to sow this amount of seed to get that word. And they do all kinds of things. Thus, I hate that thing the Lord said, you know, and I see that you guys also hate it. Now, but let me tell you something. Bring a revelation in here. In the church of Ephesus, this Nicolaitan thing was just called deeds. Okay. It started out by calling it deeds, the deeds of these Nicolaitans. By the time you get to one or two churches later, it's now called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Something that, you know, initially it was a deed, is now a doctrine. And so we got to be careful how things creep in. You know, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that part, but, you know, we got to be careful. Something creeps in, it starts as a deed. Before you know it, it might become a doctrine if you are not careful. You know, even doctrines of some things that people call as doctrines today. It started out as deeds, and then now in their organizations and churches, they become the dogmas and so on. They've now made it to be like as though they were doctrine, you know. But those things may not be pleasing unto the Lord, you know. So let's pay attention to what the Lord is saying. Pay attention to what the Lord is saying, because the Lord is warning us that the thing that initially starts out as a deed might very quickly become a doctrine. If you read down in that same Revelation chapter 2, by the time you get to verse 14, which now is talking to another church, you will see that this thing has now become a deed. That's now grown from being a just deeds. It has now grown to becoming doctrine. You know, so let's be careful. All right. Now, I want us to also notice that the what the Lord is saying here is that there is also room for repentance. There's always room for repentance. You know, when we repent, there's a promise that the Lord, and yesterday the Lord gave us a word actually. You know, this word was given by one of our sisters in the room, and I posted it, and it pretty much said what we are all struggling about, you know, or what we are struggling with. And he said, you know, the Lord said to her and encouraged her to come and tell it to the room. It was a personal word, and the Lord said, read it to the room. And she did. I have opened your eyes to the standard, she said. And this is what it takes. Now, if you follow it, I will help you. You know, now remember, when anytime the Lord says he will do something and he puts an if there, then you have to do your part for the Lord to do his part. The Lord is opening our eyes to the standard. What is the standard? Well, the standard is the fire must never be put out. You got to bring the wood every morning. You got to crank it up. Leviticus chapter 6, we read that. That is the fire that must be going on. The priests must burn wood upon it every morning. That's the standard. The fire must not go out. That was our theme. That's been our theme scripture the last 2 days. That's the standard. You got to crank up that fire. If it's going out, you got to bring more wood every morning. Crank it up. That's the standard. You know what it has to take. Well, but, you know, right now, the Lord says, if you follow it, though, I will help you. You may be far from it now. Actually, he said, you are far from it now. But I will help you get there. And if you're ready, I will help you. So there's a lot of ifs in that statement. If you follow it, I will help you. If you are ready, I will help you. So, ladies and gentlemen, in order for us to get the promise of I will help you, we've got to do the if. Now, so we got to follow the standard. And according to the book of Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10, this is what we are doing. We're raising a standard again. This is a standard. It says, raise up a standard for the people of God. Raise a standard. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19. also talks about raising a standard for God's people. You know, we need to raise a standard. Holy Spirit himself is raising a standard. When the enemy comes in as a flood, the enemy has already come in as a flood. It's taking over the world, basically. The minds of people are corrupt, and the love of men is growing cold because iniquities are abounding. That is the enemy coming in as a flood. You know, Isaiah 59 and 19. And when the enemy is doing that, the Holy Spirit said, I will also raise up a standard against him. Now, how is that standard? It's coming in the remnant. God always has a remnant. In fact, at one time, you know, Elijah, he said, well, Lord, they have killed. You say, the Lord said, what doest thou, Elijah, here? And he said, well, Lord, they have, you know, done this and that. They have killed your prophets. They have digged this and that. You know, I and even I am alone and so forth. And the Lord, what of the Lord came to him again? What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said the same thing, complaining that I am alone. And the Lord said, no, you are not alone. I've got me 7,000 knees. Ha! Glory to God that I've not bowed to bow. You may think that you are all alone. Oh, you are the solitary voice in the wilderness. No, you are not all alone. God always has a remnant. That's right. And what I'm doing here, by the grace of God, I'm not the only one. God has a remnant. There are people that God is raising up everywhere that are calling people to awake to righteousness. To awake to righteousness. Get out of slumber. Get back to where you first, you know, were with the Lord. And this is the thing, you know, it's happening. God has those 7,000 knees that have not bowed to Baal. We're not the only one, you know, but God will always have a remnant. And that's the Holy Spirit, according to Isaiah 59, verse 19, raising a standard. And he will do it too. Now, those who have the call, you know, it's actually a prophetic call. That's what the prophet does. The prophet and the apostolic anointing, that's what they do, is to get the people back in line. You know, it's not any new thing. It's to get them back in line. Hallelujah. Elijah said, let them know today that they have been returned to the Lord. You know, after he dealt, you know, with the false prophets, said, today, let them know that I've spoken your word and their hearts have now turned back to the Lord. That's the spirit of Elijah. He said, you know, in the last days, you know, I will return. I'll bring the spirit of Elijah again to turn the hearts of men back to the Lord. You know, the Elijah anointing is the one that says, go back to your first love. If God be God, serve him, you know, and make up your mind. You know, don't straddle the fence and so forth. So that's what it's all about. Praise the Lord. Now, one thing that the Lord says to us is, it is high time to awake out of slumber. You know, let's read Romans chapter 13 and see how the Holy Spirit calls this thing out. It is time, you know, for us to awake out of slumber. Romans 13 and verse 11. What time is it, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren? Do you know the time that we are in now? You can say, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. This is the time. Awake out of sleep. Ephesians 5 and 14. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life, because our salvation is now nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Hallelujah. That's Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 and 12. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness and in strife and all of these things, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. In other words, put off and put on. Put off the flesh and put on the Lord. Put the flesh on the altar and put on the Lord. And don't fulfill any of the things. You know, the flesh, he hates. The flesh, it hates the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God hates the flesh too. They're constantly at loggerhead. Put that flesh on the altar. Make no provision for it. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill the flesh. You got to do it daily too. Paul said, I die daily. You got to do it daily. You can't do it once in a week, once in a month, once in a year, or, you know, you wait for the time that we call the consecration or the convocation week, then you do it then, and then right after back, we go back to our old ways. That's not going to work. You know, let's call out some prophetic warnings and calls that the Lord is giving here. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, and let's call it out clearly here, how the Lord wants us to return to, you know, the good old past. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 6 and 16. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is a good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls. You know, but these people say, no, we will not do it. And, you know, some people say, well, that was old time. But the Lord said, look, go back to those old times. You know, do not remove the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. You know, there's a reason why it was that way in your life too. Even the altar which you yourself, you know, set up before, which is now broken down, you know, better go back and fix it up. You know, remove not the old landmark, you know, go back and fix it up. Hallelujah. You'll find that in Proverbs 22 and also Proverbs 23. Do not remove the old landmarks. Proverbs 22 and verse 28 and also Proverbs 23 and verse 10. You know, go back to the good old paths. Stand ye in a good old way. Walk in a good old way. Repent and do the good old walks again. Hallelujah. Now, you know, there was a call that Jesus gave even to, you know, this, there's a church in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. That Jesus called out, you know, they started out with the deeds and it became doctrine. By the time they got to, you know, this church in Revelation 3:1, they were already dead. You know, just look, think of it as a progression. You know, in and out, some of them were good, you know. Like the first church, you know, they lost their first love. The second one was really good. It didn't really have much of a, you know, of a rebuke for them. That was Smyrna, you know. And then you go to Pergamos and you go to all these things. You know, by the time you get to Sardis, you know, he now says, look, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, this thing saith he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. Yeah, he carrying on a name, you know, you're just carrying on a name. You think you are living, but you are dead. You know, it reminds me of the story of Samson. You know, after he lost his power because he couldn't keep his secret for long enough from, you know, Delilah. And what happened? He didn't know that he had lost his power and he bestirred himself as at old times. Well, let me get up and stir up myself as at old times. And he didn't know that, you know, that power was gone from him. It's like Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed, but the people still continue, are still speaking in tongues, they're still doing all of these things, but there is the true worship is no longer there. The true love of God is no longer there. It's taken over by the love of money, the love of celebrity and being big and doing all of these things. I am rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. And the Lord said, you don't even know. By the time they got down to that last church, they were poor, they were naked, they were miserable, they were wretched, they were blind. I mean, all kinds of stuff that Jesus had to finally deal with, you know, up and down, up and down. Some of them good, some bad. But look at the trend, you know, look at the trend. Now, let's be careful now, lest that which is written in the Let us to the saints, I mean to the churches, fall upon us, lest we become blind, naked, poor, wretched, and miserable. Let's be careful. And the Lord is calling it out. Return to the good old paths. You know, there is also a way that is called a highway of holiness. Return to that, you know, especially for the younger generation, you know, saying, I've seen some young people, you know, that think, they don't think evil of anything. You know, everything is good, you know, because of the generation they live in. But there's a highway of holiness. You know, Isaiah 35 and verse 8 calls out a highway of holiness. You know, this is the good old way, the good old path. You know, that's the way it was from the beginning. It was a sin then, it's a sin now. You know, if God was angry with it back then, God is still angry with it now. It doesn't matter how many people think it's right. If it was wrong then, it is still wrong now. The Lord says, look, holiness becometh thy house, O God. You know, Psalm 93 and verse 5. Holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. You know, those are some of the good old paths that we may have departed from. You know, just, you know, a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. Yeah, a little, well, it doesn't really matter. A little, yeah, we got to be acceptable to everybody. Yeah, a little, we can't judge anything, can't judge anybody. You know, the next thing you know, a little leaven leavened the whole lump. And we got to be careful. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 says, depart from iniquity. Huh? Depart from iniquity. You know, don't even mess with it at all. And this was Paul talking to a young minister. He wasn't talking to an unbeliever. Talking to a young minister. Now, Timothy was his son in the faith. And Timothy was a pastor, a young pastor and stuff like that. And Paul talking to him said, look, be careful now. Don't even put your hands on any man suddenly. You know, keep yourself from iniquity. Get away from stuff that is, unwholesome, you know, for the gospel and things like that. You know, depart from iniquity. And he began to tell him and began to warn him, you know, and said, look, the foundation of God stands sure. Hallelujah. You know, what is the foundation of God? It's a two-part seal. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Two parts to that seal. The Lord knows them that are his. That's his own part. He already knows them. But the second part is this. Let everyone, it says, and, so and means a conjunction. He joins the first thing that he said to the second thing. You know, the Lord knows them that are his. Yeah, the Lord does the choosing. That's his own part. And let those who say we are the Lord's, let them depart from iniquity. That's right. So not only is he saying it to Timothy, he's saying it to every one of us. If you name the name of Christ, then depart from iniquity. That's the second part of that seal. God's doing his part, then we better do our part. Depart from iniquity also means go back to the place of holiness, where we first once rejoiced in the Lord and so forth. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 7. Now, this Jeremiah, you know, he knew how to bring an indictment, you know, against the people, you know, and this is what he said. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Now, this is the Lord's house. He didn't say go out in the street and talk to unbelievers and so forth. No, go to the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say to the Lord's people, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. And he's not even talking to people that are outside. He's talking to people that come in here to worship the Lord. So now this is the word of the Lord to everyone that comes into this platform to say that we are the ones that are following the ways of the Lord. And say, hey, we wake up early in the morning. We come on in here. We get a good word. We go on about our way. You know, we are doing the right thing and so forth. Well, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. Well, that's right. So that's a call to going back to your first love. Amend your ways and your doing.
You know, don't trust in lying words and saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Some people are actually, you know, trusting how big their temple is. I mean, their church, the building and so forth like that. You know, and you say the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You know, come on. You know, the Lord said, look, all of those things are nothing. But if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, and if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood, and if you do not walk after other gods, what are the gods? Well, when you put your job, when you put that one thing that you are desiring, and you put it ahead of the Lord, whatever it is, become a god in our heart to your own hurt. He said, if you do not do any of those things, then I will cause you to inherit the place of glory. It's basically what he's saying. Now, so the Lord is calling on us. Get away from the things that we think. You know, the Lord said, look, you are those that justify yourselves. I keep quoting this verse in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. You are those that justify yourself. You justify yourself with your big programs and the big things that you are doing and so on and so forth. But these things, the Lord said, these things are an abomination before the Lord. Therefore, repent and go back to the good old ways. Good old ways. You know, I know that when I was growing up in the Lord many years ago and so forth, we go into the fellowship. We didn't have a sophisticated praise team and so on. I mean, we would just, everybody grab their tambourine and so forth and whatever it was, you know. And my goodness, that glory of God that will come into that, you know, congregation. Today, we have the fancy praise team and everything like that. You know, and, you know, a lot of, highly paid musicians and so forth. I mean, they do a great job and so forth, but people just come on in there. They relax, they fold their arms, let the praise team entertain them. Entertain? Well, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Praise team is doing and people are enjoying the music, but there is no glory. You know, so because people are just saying, yeah, great praise team and so forth. There's no glory. Go back to the good old ways. You know, get on in there. I'm not saying get rid of the praise team, but look, let your worship be true. Praise team or not. This was how it used to be in the olden days. And you know, in the olden days too, people could endure all kinds of things. You know, I mean, people, and some people in Africa, they're still doing this today. You know, they suffer through a lot. They can go, and some of us have now moved from Africa. We're now in the great old United States, to a place of comfort. A place of being at ease in Zion, you know. The Lord said, woe unto those who are at ease in Zion. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. And what was it that we used to endure? You could go into a building, no AC, nothing. People would walk miles to go to church. They would carry their baby in the rain. They would do all kinds of things. They don't have transportation then, but they would still do it. And when they get there, they will praise the Lord like no man's business. Today, if you come in the building, if the building is, you know, one bit uncomfortable, the AC is out or something is too hot, people cannot even stand there and praise the Lord. You know, they'll complain about everything. Go back to the good old ways, said the Lord. You know, go back to your good old walks when you were fired up for the Lord. That's right. We're bringing, the Spirit of God is bringing an indictment this morning. And the Lord said, look, you know, what do you think? You know, do you think that everyone that is calling on my name and saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom? Say, no. You know, just because they are calling on my name, Matthew chapter 7, verses 19 to 23, doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to get in there. You know, now, what are the things that may disqualify them? Well, let's take a look. You know, these are the things that the Lord wants us to correct. Go back, good old ways, you know. He said, first of all, you know, he said, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit will be hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby by their fruits you will know them. And not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. But he that doing the will of my Father, which is heaven. Well, what is the will of your Father today? Return to your first love. Repent and do the first works again. Or else I will come unto you and cast you down. You know, just like a tree that is cast down, you know. And so on. So many will come in that day and say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils and done many wonderful works. And yet, the Lord said, I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Now, that is my prayer all the time. I never want to be in that situation after I've done all this preaching. Every day, get up early and preach to the people and so forth. And do all these things in the church. And do all of these things every day, everywhere. And then come and hear that I never knew you. God forbid. Lord God Almighty, let me know. Paul said, look, I don't want to be a castaway after I have preached the gospel. How will you be a castaway? Well, Jesus said, look, the person that will be least in the kingdom, you know, will be the one that teaches, but he himself doesn't do it. Then he will be the least in the kingdom. I don't want to be the least in the kingdom. So you better do what you preach. The Lord told me. Praise God. So all of us need help. We all need these prayers. You know, we need an awakening. We need a re-strengthening from the Lord. And the Lord promised that he will help us. But you got to make your decision and say, are you ready? He said, well, I'll help you if you are ready. But that's the big if. You know, sometimes you say, well, you know, the Lord one time, he said, come. He calls one young person, say, come and follow me. The man said, yeah, let me go and bury my dead first. Well, he called another. He said, well, let me go and settle this first. And so on. And the Lord said, well, any man that put his hand in the plow, on the plow and looks back, is not even fit for the kingdom. You can read that in the last verse of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, look, no man having put their hand on the plow and looking back is even fit for the kingdom, you know, because what happened? Well, he called, you know, different people. We called one person. He said, follow me. And then he said, Lord, suffer me to first go and bury my dead father. I said, fine. Well, but let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach the kingdom. And the man, you know, he didn't want to do it. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. We don't know. Another one said, Lord, I want to follow you. But let me first go and bid my house farewell, which I hold in my house. Let me first go and do this. Let me first go and do that. And Jesus said, look, no man. You know, sometimes what is the thing that we want to first accomplish before we really put ourselves all in for the Lord? Is it, well, let me first get married. Let me first get my children. Let me first get my degree. Let me first do this or that. Then I will be all in. Jesus said, look, no man having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. So these are the many callings out of the Holy Spirit unto us today. Let the Holy Spirit interpret it to you in your own heart, what it is that the Lord is calling you to. Awake to righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. And sin not. Now, again, this is, all these things were written to believers, not to unbelievers. You know, if you read, you know, the beginning of the book of Corinthians chapter 1, you know, Paul was addressing, you know, his letter, you know, to the church of God, which is Corinth, and to all those who are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. And in every place, people who call upon the name of the Lord. So all these things are already written to believers. And yet he's saying, awake to righteousness and sin not. This is believers, you know, so all these things that are in the letters and the epistles, they are all to believers. Young people and the young generation especially, awake to righteousness and sin not. It goes to the older generation as well. But I just feel to my heart to challenge the young generation today, you know, because they are facing an incredible amount of pressure on every side, you know, that we didn't even face like that in our time. We had our own challenges, but they have a whole lot different challenges today. But I thank God that there are many of them. Some of them are right here on this platform that are standing with the word of God and being a beacon of light and standing and shining that light in their generation. You know, so the Lord is calling us out. There's a new standard. It's not exactly new. John said, look, a new commandment I write unto you, but it is not new. It just looks like it's new. It's the same commandment which you have heard before. So it's not really a new standard. It is the same standard. You know, but when the thing is broken down and you repair it, it looks like it's new. If you take an old house that's crumbled down and you rebuild it, it's a new house. But it was a house, the same, it's still the same foundation that was there, you know. So it is the same thing. This is the message we have heard from the beginning. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It's the same message that God is light, you know. And we have some end time believers that say, the message. What is the message? The message is that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's the real message, you know. And you cannot bring any darkness into the Lord. I mean, some people say, oh yeah, you know, we are the people of the Lord. We are the bride. We are the elect. We are the ones that stand in the temple, I mean, for 22 years, I heard people say the temple, because we went to a place of, you know, we fellowship. That's a glorious place. And people trusted in that temple. And they said, well, the temple, you know, and the Lord said, look, those of you that come into this place and stand in this place and say, the temple, amend your ways already. Otherwise, I will come to you and I will remove your candlestick from its place. And eventually, the Lord actually did remove that candlestick from its place. But ladies and gentlemen, the Lord still has a remnant. You know, by the grace and mercies of God, picking up the pieces. Glory to God. Picking up the pieces. And we try to do it by ourselves. That song that we, you know, I played at the beginning said, look, I've tried so hard to make it all alone, but I couldn't do it. But the Lord said, I'll take you back. You know, and the prayer in that song said, take me back, Lord, to the place where I first be seen. You know, some of you, you know, look, there are some people, I don't know what it is. You know, the scripture says, smite the shepherd, scatter the flock. You know, the Lord had a voice in our time that we thought was a voice to the generation. Well, smite the shepherd, scatter the flock. The devil knows what he's doing too. Smite that shepherd, scatter the flock. Now people say, ah, you know, what has happened to this man? He's gone. Well, let's to your tents, O Israel. You know, and that person said, well, you know, I mean, we've been waiting for the Lord all this time. These people have been telling us the Lord is coming. A revival is coming. Even the prophet himself is dead. You know, these things are the way it has been. It is no revival. To your tents, O Israel. Repent and do the first works again. Lest I come unto you and remove your candlestick from its place. But lo and behold, he comes behind that and say, but if you do repent, and you hearken to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, there is coming forth a blessing. And he gave a blessing even to the church of, a promise of a blessing of overcomers. If you've overcome the things that are keeping you from your first love, and you can get in there and do it, the Lord gives a promise, a beautiful promise. And many of those promises, you can read all of them. We did the promises to the overcomers a few weeks ago. You can read all of them. To him that overcometh, glory to God, will I give to eat of the tree of life. Now, that tree of life was in the midst of the garden of God in the beginning, and Adam lost the right to it. The Lord said, I will restore unto you everything that Adam lost if you will overcome. So there is a hope, and there's promise, you know. And I love the way that Job puts it in Job chapter 14 and verses 7 through 9. He said, there is hope of a tree, though it be cut down. I say there is hope of the altar, though it be broken. Hallelujah. That it can still be repaired. Because Elijah, he first repaired the altar of the Lord. So there is a hope, even now, that though the tree, and we may be that tree. You know, the Lord said that you might be trees of righteousness, that he might be the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified in Isaiah 61 and verses 3 and so on. He said, look, this is what the Lord is doing. But what has happened? Well, what started out as being a tree of righteousness, what started out by being an altar of fire that was always burning,
Now the fire has gone out. The tree has withered. It has become something else. You know, but there is hope, saith the Lord, of a tree when it be cut down. Hallelujah. That it can still come up again to life. You know, though the root thereof wax old in the earth. I'm reading Job 14 verses 7 through 9. And the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water. Glory to God. There is a scent of water that God is now bringing, you know, upon the dead trees again. And they will leap, and they shall be trees of righteousness yet in my sight once again, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Even the Lord that doeth these things. There is hope of a bunch of dead bones in Ezekiel chapter 37. The Lord said to the prophet, can these bones live again? The man was very smart. He said, Lord, I don't know. You know. And that's always a good answer. When the Lord asks you a question, you better put your hand to your mouth and say, Lord, thou knowest. That's the best answer. You know. And then he said, well, I'm going to tell you. These bones shall yet live again. They look dead now. There's no life in them and everything like that. But I'm going to do something and you will be a part of it. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to the man, two things I want you to do. First, prophesy upon these dead bones. Hallelujah. And so I did as I was commanded, the prophet said. And then the dead bones stood up on their feet, but there was still no life. And the Lord said, now, there's one more thing I want you to do. Prophesy unto the winds. Now, first it was upon the dead bones. Now it is unto the winds. Let them come and bring life and spirit into these bones. And let there be, you know, sinews and flesh and everything. And there was a shaking and everything. Look, and he did it. And there was a great, mighty army. You know, it's kind of like the Lord, he called Lazarus out of that grave. Lazarus, come out of there. He came out, but he was still bound. Head, toe, foot, and everything. And the Lord had to tell them, lose him and let him go. There's something that the Lord is doing, and it's in stages. Hallelujah. A first stage is you hear the word of the Lord today. And the Lord said, hearken and be not like those who are in the wilderness. In the days of temptation, you know, when they heard the word of the Lord and they hardened their hearts. So say, do not harden your hearts like those people. Now, first thing you do is you hear the word of the Lord as it is today. And you allow that word of the Lord to have in you the perfect work. You know, let's not be like those that hear the word of the Lord and then, you know, we just let it go away from us. No, you know, we hear the word of the Lord and we must not harden our hearts. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3, it says, do not harden your hearts as in the days of provocation. I believe verse 15 or so. You do not be like the ones that harden their hearts when they heard the word. But let's be like the ones that, you know, would hearken to the word of the Lord. What is it? Also, what are some other things also that we may, you know, and Jesus gave a warning in Luke 21 and 34. You know, he said, look, you know, be careful now. There are some things that can creep in into your life and put that fire out, you know. So here's a warning that he gave. Take heed to yourselves. Luke 21 and 34. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. So those are some things that can cause the gradual degrading of the life of the spirit in us, you know, and the waning, the thing coming down, the fire gradually dying. What are they? Surfeiting. Can you imagine that people might actually miss the day? You say the day come upon you appear unawares. I mean, are you going to let overeating, you know, and all of these things cause you to miss the rapture? Better go back to those days of fasting, saith the Lord. That's right. You know, go back to the days of fasting. And when you fast, let your fast be unto the Lord. The Lord said those days that you fasted in the seventh and the fifth month and so on. Did you at all fast unto me?
but you are doing all these crazy things. Fast unto the Lord, as you did in the early days. Hallelujah. What was it that you are fasting of? You are consumed, you know, wanting the glory of God to be revealed in your mortal flesh. So you fasted to put your body under. Fast again like that, saith the Lord, and you will see the glory of God. And let me say this too. The Lord said, look, as a snare is coming upon everybody, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Some people don't believe in any escape. Well, there is a great escape. The Lord is talking about it here. And, you know, the evil that's coming upon the world that's going to eat away as a canker, you know, you can escape it starting today. You can go back into the ark of safety. You can go back to the place of, you know, your first love, and you can stand before the Son of Man. You know, let's begin to pray that this will be our portion. And on that day when he said, come up hither, Marakote Shelarabo Sai, let there be nothing in me that will hold me back. You know, how are you going to take flight when he says it? Is there something, are you going to pack some, you know, some fuel jets behind you so you can lift up? No. You know, that's the only way to do it is to do the will of God now, you know, and to trust in his word that I will raise him up at the last day. That's what he said. And I will say, look, I will lose none of them, but I will raise him up at the last day. You got to trust in that. Every day, he will raise you up. Whether you are in the grave, he will raise you up. Whether you are on the ground, he will raise you up. Hallelujah. I will raise him up on the last day. Glory to God. Those who are in the grave, he will raise them up. Those who are on the ground, he will raise them up as well. Glory to God. This is our hope. This is our faith. This is our trust. This is our belief that the Lord will raise us up and we will escape. Hallelujah. The judgment has come upon this world. Now, listen, take heed to every word. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, let this word that we're hearing today not be against us in the day. Jesus said, look, you think I will judge any man? Say, no, the word that I've spoken will judge. So let not this word say, look, you heard that word when I called you to awake to righteousness, when I was telling you to rekindle that fire, when I was telling you to crank up the fire, to bring the wood every morning. You heard it, but you allowed it to sleep. He said, let us not let those things sleep which we have heard. Take heed to the things that you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. You know, don't let them slip away from you, because there were some people that heard the word and they did not hold on to the word, and they let those things slip. When the thing left them, slipped, I think that's the plural, I mean, past tense of sleep. When the thing slipped away from them, you know, then, you know, what happened? They forgot. You know, they forgot where they were with the Lord. So call back to remembrance. Call back to remembrance the things where you have been with the Lord, and don't you forget it. Hebrews chapter 2, it says, we ought to give the most honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Don't let these things slip. But what is it that you have heard? Some of us have read the words of the prophet telling us to prepare, prepare, prepare for the coming of the Lord. And before the coming of the Lord, the bride will make herself ready. And there's something the Lord promised in Haggai. He said, look, how many of you have seen this house in its former glory? And I raised my hand. He said, well, how do you see it now? I put down my hand. You know, he said, well, I guarantee you, you're going to see something different and something new. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something new. That to the which you will see, when you say, wow, I thought that was great, but I'm going to show you something else. That the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former. And I'm saying, Lord,
if I can even get the equal. But the Lord said, I will give you even more. But you got to say yes. That's it. If you are ready, I will help you. You got to say yes. And I say, Lord, yes. My soul says yes to the Lord. My soul says yes to the Lord. Help me, Lord, to rekindle this fire and this light. Now that you have heard the word of the Lord today, let me tell you another word of the Lord from the Spirit, and the prophetic Spirit. The Lord says, wherefore, lean upon me quickly, saith the Lord, and return unto me with your heart, and amend your ways, and walk ye before me in the paths of righteousness, that I may lead you to the gates of heaven. But if thou wilt not repent, I shall cut down, even cut thee down, with the sword of my mouth. And the latter end shall be worse than the first. But unto them that fear my name, even those that walk in my ways, them will I cause to stand before me, and they shall walk with me, and they shall inherit all things. Hallelujah. Now, which is it going to be? Are we going to walk with him? Are we going to, you know, ignore these things? Look, the Lord said, look, I've sent unto you, you know, prophets and this and that, rising up early and sending, doing all of these things. I mean, to whom will I liken the people of this generation? They're like those, you know, they stood, you know, say, they stood in the marketplace, they sang songs, they said, dance with us. They would not. They stood in this place, they cried. You know, whether you cry to them, they do not yield. Whether you dance to them, they do not yield. Whether you sing to them, they do not yield. Whether you preach to them, they do not yield. Let us not be like that generation. We are not that generation. Now, we may be inside that generation, but we are a chosen generation. We are a called out people, the ecclesia. You know, we may be inside. Jesus said the same prayer. Lord, he said to Father, he said, look, they are in this world, but not of this world. They are in this generation, but not of this generation. Just like I am in this world, but I'm not from this world. I am from above, he said. You may be from the beneath, he told them. But no, but he told, that was to the Jews. But he told his disciples, ye are not from this world, even if you are in this world. You were made in heaven, assembled upon the earth. Hallelujah. But you are not of this world. Glory to God. Now, my prayer today as I wrap this up is that the Lord will bring us to a place of repentance. Now, stay in that realm of brokenness. The last 2 days in the room was all about brokenness and the Lord getting us back to, you know, and don't, you know, don't let, as we close this, let me remind us, don't let the hustle and bustle and the things we're chasing after, you know, these are the things that the little foxes that spoil the vine, that the things that eat away at our fire. That's why every day you must come back, you know, in the morning and crank it up again. You must check it. There's a lamp trimming time that's going on right now. Trim your lamps. Cut up the old wick that's burnt up. Crank it up. Put new oil. Put new fire. Relight the flame if the thing has gone out. You know, hey, what's it going to take? The Lord said, I have now revealed to you the standard. You now know what it's going to take. You know, and but you say in your heart, well, I don't know if I can get there. But the Lord said, look, I am going to help you to get there. But you must say with your mouth that you are ready. You must be ready also to follow the standard. And here's what he said in Psalm 110. I'll close with this. This was the other, there were two scriptures that the Lord gave us when we started this room in October 1st, 2022. Was when the Lord gave us that, when we started. And he gave us the Leviticus 6, the one I've been quoting and reading. And he also gave us this Psalms 110 and verse 3. So, you know, let's pray this prayer today, every one of us. This will be our closing thought in this session. And we're going to all pray this prayer, you know. And the Lord, you know, this is how he's going to do it. He already promised that he will help us. But he said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Psalm 110 and verse 3. Now, are you willing? The Lord said, if you are willing and you are ready, and I will help you. Well, are you willing? Are you willing in the day of his power? This be the day of his power. In the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, every day in the womb of the morning, bring more wood and lay it on the altar and crank up the fire daily. You know, and that's what's going to renew your youth. It's called the dew of youth. The Lord has sworn it and he will not repent. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to pray a quick prayer over the room. Then I'm going to invite every one of us to pray. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have heard your word, the new standard, which is not new. The standard which says, go back to the good old ways. The standard that says, repent and do again the first works from whence thou art fallen. The standard that says, return unto your first love. Lord, we are going back to amend our ways and to return and to rebuild the altar. Father, Lord, we pray that you help us. The Lord said, I will help you, but he said, first, you must be willing. And Lord, I turn it back to you and say, Lord, I can't even be willing unless you help me to be willing. Because according to the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, your word, Lord, says that you are the one that makes us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So I'm putting it back on you, Lord. Just like the man that said, Lord, I am trying to believe, but help thou my unbelief. I'm putting it back on you, Lord, and say, Lord, I'm trying to be willing. I'm trying to be ready. But I need your help even to do that. You said you will help me if I am ready. Well, I want to be ready, Lord. Help me to be ready. I want to believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. I want to be willing, Lord. Help my unwillingness in the name of Jesus. Help me to be both willing and to do of your good pleasure. In the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and my sisters, the holy people of God that are on this platform listening to me on this morning and that will listen to this replay. I pray over everyone that they also will be willing and ready, and that the Spirit of God will make them and me willing and ready in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And we know that this is the day of your power. In this day of your power, we will see greater things. It doesn't look like it right now. You say, we are far from it. But the Lord said, I will help you to get back there. Lord, I pray that you will help us to get there, even as you promised, in the name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise, and we give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.